We're talking today with Steve Thompson with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. Steve, we've gone through another of a series of deadline weeks for the Oklahoma State Legislature. We've got the latest deadline now done. And I guess what this is actually the bill that has come from the other body has to pass back to that body or else be ready to go to the governor, right?
That's correct. The bills that passed the side they started on in committee and the floor and then have flipped sides and passed one committee had to make that next step across the opposite floor. And that's where we've been. It's the last big deadline hurdle that we have on the calendar.
So, you know, give me some of the things that really sticks out in your mind. What maybe some good things that happened in this last week?
Well, it would probably be easier to give you the opposite side of that and maybe some of the bad things, but no. It's the process is working. It's sometimes rough. And this session, we've got to a point where it's gotten a little bit rough. The climate, as the temperature outside kind of heats up, it heats up inside the Capitol. You know, folks have been there for going on 3 months now and working through things and, you know, personal relationship issues have started to rub and priorities have started to kind of rub against each other. And so the House and Senate are struggling with each other right now. And so there's a lot of bills that, like I said, had passed three steps in the process, which is, you know, something gets off of both committees and one floor. You know, typically it's been vetted pretty good and it has to have some support out there. But there was a long list of those bills that just simply did not get heard this past week. And we're watching a lot of those. There, I think I printed out the list and it was 12 pages long of bills that didn't get heard this week. So, you know, we everybody's sort of tired of dealing with marijuana, but yet that still was the number one topic in volume of legislation this year. And there were several things related to that that got left behind. You know, a couple of weeks ago we visited about the spray drift liability bill that didn't get a hearing in committee. Well, there was a couple of potential chances that was going to come back through other legislation, and that did not materialize. So that bill is still dead for right now. But there were some alternatives to address some of those concerns that we really felt strongly about and felt like were a slam dunk, and they got left behind this week as well. One that would require marijuana growing operations to register with the State Department of Agriculture and be placed on a website for pesticide sensitive crops. So if there was something just around the corner in the trees that you didn't know about before you sprayed, you could hopefully check that out. And primarily it helps out the commercial applicators that they could check that out and make sure, you know, they know what's out there across the fence. So there was a couple of things that I know a lot of farmers and ranchers would have been interested in regarding young kids on the farm ages 14 to 17 getting an expanded driver's license. Right now you can get certain things seasonally to haul commodities, but there was a proposal out there to expand that to where you could drive for a longer period of time and drive to school and back and to work on a farm, and that didn't get a hearing. And there was a bill that had a lot of livestock producers concerned about cockfighting that would have reduced the penalty. You know, we've gone through a lot of stages of criminal justice reform in Oklahoma over the last few years, and some of it's probably good legislation, but there's been some times where I think it felt like that maybe has gone a little bit too far. And so there were some representatives and senators in Southeast Oklahoma that felt like that we've reduced the penalties for certain drug possession crimes to be a lot weaker than actually possessing a fighting rooster. And so they were trying to make a point with that. But anytime we talk about that subject, it brings in a lot of animal activist folks that are against all types of animal agriculture production. And that cockfighting law was really not being enforced. So that wasn't a problem that really needed to be fixed. It was more of a symbol. And so we were a little nervous about that and who it would invite to Oklahoma to protest. And so it did not get a hearing, which I think had a lot of us resting easy that we wouldn't have to deal with some of those folks from around the country that tend to want to come here and push back against the way we do things in Oklahoma. So there was some good and some bad that happened this last week, but there was a lot of legislation that is now laying dormant for the rest of this session. And so we have had some good conversations with our friends about a few of the better pieces of marijuana legislation, and I do think there remains an opportunity to see a few of those slip in some more bills over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And that's really what we're down with is technically they can run through the end of May, but we feel like that they'll be here for at least 2 more weeks, but maybe not more than three. So time is getting short to get something through the process.
So of the marijuana, you know, issues that we had, the things that we were talking about, you know, at such length, really over the last almost 12 months now. What are the one or two things we really want to try to get done?
Well, I think that there's two aspects I could take you on that. One that's more directly related to the growing operations, and some that we really worked with law enforcement and a few other levels of municipal and county government on. The signage issues regarding transparency of ownership, and that's another bill. There was a bill that was targeted towards foreign ownership of land that wasn't heard, but just trying to let you know who's across the fence from you so that maybe you could get a hold of them, kind of like you have on an oil and gas well site. That bill is still alive. That would require certain types of posting, and so we're certainly want to keep an eye on that and keep work through that. That was kind of a high priority for, I think, all the ag groups. And the other one that we worked with through our task force in the interim and was really brought to us by the law enforcement and government groups had to do with increasing a few of the penalties for diversion or trafficking. Some of these is if you have a medical marijuana card and legally obtain a product but either sell or give it away to someone who's not authorized to have it, whether they be a minor or just an adult who doesn't have the proper license and registration to have that, whether you are an individual or whether you are a marijuana business, those penalties were by design by the folks who created the initiative petition were incredibly weak. It was a speeding ticket level kind of stuff. And putting some teeth in some of that so that they could clean up the things that were happening out there in communities that caused people concern. And really what that appealed to us as we've been focused on the growing side of things is if they can do a better job of policing the low-level criminals there, every one of those works for somebody who is connected further up the chain of the bad actors. And oftentimes we've been able to find out from OBN and OMMA is that some of the growing operations that caused us the most concern were all part of a criminal organization. And so if we can help our friends in law enforcement do a better job of working their way up the ladder of those bad actors, that's the best thing that we can do to try to solve some of our problems is to assist them with that. And those bills are still out there, and we're still optimistic that we'll make. They're seemingly small changes, but if it empowers law enforcement to do a better job with the big picture, big organizations that cause this concern, we feel like we will have made some real progress this session.
Now, there was some talk about organizational changes within, you know, OMMA, especially as far as raising its status, I guess, within the state government. Anything positive there coming out of this session?
That's another good point. I should mention that there's some stuff on tiered license fees to try to give some resources to the bigger operations. It was felt that $2,500 to register was not appropriate, and so those ideas are still out there. They have got to advance, but they're still out there. And kind of the most high profile was probably taking the OMMA as an entity away from the umbrella of the state health department and putting it as a standalone agency, and that's still out there, and I think has had good support and feels like that they can focus the way that they need to a little bit better if they get their own direction and not folded into the health department. So there were a lot of hurdles with that structure, and so we think that we can more adequately address our problems if they can create their own direction and their own vision separate from the Department of Health. And so those are still viable out there. They've got some work to be done and have to survive the politics truly that some of these other things have fallen victim to, but we're still optimistic that those discussions are ongoing and we might see some progress made there.
When it comes to some of the things that had to do with taxation and county assessors, these type of things, where are we on those issues?
That was one of the things that took over a lot of the discussion this last week was assessors on issues that we have been struggling with both in agriculture and in a little different way with some of the energy companies. And some of that has come to us through our members who are involved in their local school, whether it be school board or as teachers, that some of the protests of ad valorem bills from energy companies were tying up millions of dollars in tax revenue that was destined for schools because of the protest. And so So we've researched that quite a bit, and I think that, you know, there's some probably some blame on both sides. There's concern about the third party assessors, that the assessors are contracting to do this work, whether they're shooting the numbers high and whether they have a financial incentive on that. Then the negotiation process, the protest, the energy companies provide all the information timely that they need. And the bottom line is those were dragging out to where schools weren't receiving the funding for years on end. And so there's a bill that would remove the third party contractors from working for assessors during the protest portion. They could still do all the preliminary work, because a lot of the things that energy companies, whether they be wind or traditional and pipeline and others, it's very complicated, very technical, and so some of that expertise is certainly needed. But when it comes down to working through the settlement and the court process, the county assessor needs to be the one that is having those discussions. And so that bill did advance. It's got a lot of attention. The assessors don't like it. Some of the school folks are concerned about it. Some are supportive. And so it passed, but it still procedurally has what we call the title off. And so it is not, it still has to go through both sides again. And so it will go proceed on to a conference committee, but it did, after some pressure, it did survive this week, and we did quite a bit of work and meetings on that. And so we think that those discussions will continue. I'm not sure if that bill is going to ultimately pass, but it's drawing some attention to a real serious problem about how that process works. And throughout that, there were a couple other ideas emerged about moving some of those energy industries from locally assessed to what we call centrally assessed, and letting the tax commission do that. And that poses another series of challenges, and one of which would be to expand what types of businesses could use the power of eminent domain, which, as a landowner organization, we have a lot of concerns about other folks being able to forcibly take away private property. And so I think that idea has faded to the background for now, but lots of good attention paid to some problems we're having with ad valorem taxes. And as you know, that's a cornerstone issue for us. So we're happy those discussions are going on, but unfortunately there's not a lot of real clean, easy, direct solutions just yet.
We're waiting, obviously, as you mentioned, maybe 3 weeks left. We're full scale, I know, into budget discussions. We've heard some accusations about being not transparent enough and all of this. But what are you hearing right now? Are we going to be able to get a pretty quick budget deal, given the fact we got, you know, more money than we thought we might have?
You know, it's gone a little bit quiet in terms of the budget. So you kind of know that we're entering one of the serious phases, because they've become a little more closed-lipped, so because we're now at a time where they're talking about is very serious issues, and so we're not really sure how close they are. We think the word this week was, you know, hey, they might get out in 2 weeks, which means that they'll tell you that, because they really need everybody to hurry up their process so they can actually get done in three. But we'll know they're seriously close whenever they've gone from saying they're almost done to saying that there is no agreement, and each sides have walked away from the table. And when they tell you that the negotiations have completely blown up, that you need to start packing your bags, because that means they'll have a deal in about 24 hours. We haven't reached that stage yet, but we're very optimistic that there's going to be a few strategic investments made in some agriculture-related priorities. We've been trying to talk to folks about investment in programs that would help large animal veterinarians both recruit and retrain more of those in the state. That's an area of need that we've talked about for many years, but we've seen a lot of support from our friends in the legislature about that. And I think the Department of Ag and OSU and the Veterinary Medical Examiners Association were very supportive of that and have a strategic investment there. But the big question still remains on are they going to eliminate grocery sales tax? Are they going to lower income tax? How big of an investment are they going to make into the rainy day fund? And so those big questions are still being debated, and we're anxious to see where they go with a couple of those bigger ticket items.
I know, you know, I had one gentleman ask me if you see any opportunity to maybe get some money into that ag disaster fund that was established, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, the drought emergency. I think so. Now, again, that's one of the things that they won't release where we're at until we have an overall deal. But the things that we have heard have been very, very positive about that. And I think that's really a risk-free investment for the legislature, because if that money's not needed, then they can just simply take that back next year. It's kind of like a savings account investment in a way. And if the drought, particularly in the western part of the state, persists and we get on into warmer weather and we have a real crisis on our hands, there'll be some revenue already set aside for that. So we do think that that is entirely possible, and we're as far as I know, all the ag groups are very supportive of that, and that would be some resources the Department of Ag and the Water Board and Secretary of Environment really needed to address if we get into a terrible situation. As we know, lots of western Oklahoma, while we've had a few threats of rain, we still haven't got anything enough to give us much help. And as the temperature rises, the need there only increases. So no, we still think that's in the hopper. We can't say for sure just yet, but we're still optimistic that that will get some attention.
Good. Yeah, end of the day, Steve, are you a little disappointed, especially on this medical marijuana thing? I mean, it seems like we just haven't gotten nearly the traction that we had kind of really had hoped for early, you know, back in December, January.
I would say at this point in time, a little disappointed, but certainly have not given up hope yet, because we think there are a few things that are on the proper path, and we're not completely shut out yet on a few others. And certainly it's not gone quite as smooth in the last few weeks as we would have liked, but truly we probably got through the first half of session a little easier than we anticipated. So now these bumps aren't the end of the world, and we just have got to keep our nose to the grindstone, keep working together. I know we spent a long time this last week as an ag family going over some of these that had some questions and trying to stick together on it. And that was really the key to all this is us staying on the same page, working, like I said, with the law enforcement community and municipal and county government that are the front lines on some of this, as well as Bureau of Narcotics and OMMA. And we haven't given up hope yet. If the session ended today, we'd give it a pretty low grade, but there's the clock is still ticking and there's still time. And so we are more pessimistic now than I would have been a month ago, but we're not ready to give up just yet. So we'll keep pushing them. And I still feel like I had said all along, I wanted to say we passed 12 good marijuana bills, just each just a little bit better. Maybe more realistically is if we could pass 6 good marijuana bills, we still will have made some progress, because last session this came up on us kind of late and we weren't able to really say we did much. And so we need to get some victories for rural Oklahoma and for the state as a whole. And I still think there's an opportunity for us to do something good, but the road's a little rougher now than it was about a month ago.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Thompson, Oklahoma Farm Bureau. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.